This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
I want to start this morning by being a little bit sober, and say that I'm concerned. I'm concerned about a number of things. I'm concerned about world affairs. If you look at this map, in 2013, ISIS operated in one country, Syria. Last year, they were operating in four countries, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, and Yemen. This year, 2015, they're creating turmoil in at least eight countries, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, Egypt, and Afghanistan. I'm concerned. I'm concerned about national developments. This recent decision by the Supreme Court of the United States on the Marriage and Family Act has me concerned. Now, let me say something about CIU's position on homosexuals. We love homosexuals. We love everybody. What's our position on homosexuality? Well, that's different. We love, if you think of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11, which is a very key verse, specific verse on homosexuality, it says, well, have any of you ever stolen something? Raise your hand if you've stolen something. I used to come home from school when I was in fifth grade, and I'd stop by the Magic Market, and I don't think they're around anymore, and then I'd steal three of these big, huge sweet tarts, and then I'd go by to the 7-Eleven, I'd steal three more big sweet tarts, and back then they were like a nickel, and the next day I would sell all six to Philip Wilson for a dollar. And I was making big money. I'm so glad God saved me. But I was once a thief. How many have ever coveted something? Okay. And by the way, I'm going to stop there because the next one's like immorality, and you know, it goes on from there. But it says some of you were immoral. Some of you were fornicators. But you've been washed. You've been changed. God loves all of us, whether we've stolen, coveted, have been immoral, and it doesn't matter which path of immorality, whether it was a heterosexual immoral relationship or a homosexual immoral relationship. It doesn't matter. God loves all of us, but He doesn't approve of immorality. By the way, pray for me at 2:30. I'm being interviewed by the state paper on this topic. I don't want to communicate God's heart in our position. But I'm concerned. I'm concerned about local tragedies, like what happened in Charleston when Dylan Roof murdered those nine innocent people. By the way, CIU set up a scholarship with the AME denomination in their honor. And you may not know this, but we haven't made as much progress in the undergrad. Many of you have heard me say, I want us to look like heaven, not just think like heaven. But the seminary is now only, it may have changed this year, but last year it was only 52% white. We're looking more and more like heaven. These local tragedies concern me. So my question this morning is, how concerned are you? That's the title of this little talk. Are you concerned enough to do something about it? And that really is the burden of my heart, is how do we respond to all these things? Because ultimately, we don't change world affairs national developments or local tragedies by changing foreign governments, national laws, and local flags. None of which I'm against. But ultimately, we change world affairs, national developments, and local tragedies by changing hearts. But how do we change hearts? Like the Apostle Paul, we change hearts by sharing the powerful message of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Bible calls the gospel, or simply good news. So at Convocation, my first chance to share with you this series on the Apostle Paul. The Convocation, we start with Romans chapter 1, verse 1. Today we're going to look at the next three verses. In those verses, we saw that Paul was committed. He was a bondservant. He was called as an apostle, and he was set apart for the gospel. We found that he was committed to the Lord, he was committed to ministry, and he was committed to the message of Jesus Christ. And my prayer then and my prayer now is that at the end of the school year, you will not just be committed to the Lord, to ministry, and the gospel, you'll be more committed then than you are now to all three. But this morning, I want us to look at what is the gospel. So if you look there, Romans chapter 1, let's go back and review verse 1, and then we'll pick up verses 2, 3, and 4. It says, Paul, a bondservant of Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. Now, these next six or seven verses, it's all one sentence. And it's highlighting those three words, gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. This morning, what I want us to look first at, just two main points this morning. First is, what's the source of this incredible message we call the gospel? What's the origin? Now, most think it comes from the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's there. But that's not the source. I asked the same kind of question this summer when I was in Azerbaijan. I said, I phrase it like this. If this is the cross, if since the cross we've made right with God, we've received forgiveness of sins and received the free gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, what about before the cross? How were the people in the Old Testament made right with God? How do they receive God's forgiveness? How do they inherit the free gift of eternal life? And they shared what most people share in this country and other countries around the world, because I often ask this question, and they shared, it's by being good. I said, no, that's not what Scripture says. He said, those that were circumcised, they were the ones who received God's forgiveness. I said, no, it's not what Scripture says. He said, it was obvious. It's by keeping the Ten Commandments. No. If you look at Romans chapter 4, first eight verses, it's not by being good. Next four verses, it's not through circumcision. Next four verses, it's not by keeping the Ten Commandments. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. But Jesus wasn't born yet. No. We put our faith in the Messiah who has come. They put their faith in the Messiah who would come. That means they had to know about the Messiah, the coming Messiah. So look at verse 2, the source, the origin of this great message, which God, the gospel of God, the end of verse 1, verse 2, which God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Now look at this list of verses. I just picked some quick ones that were on my mind, fresh on my mind. I'm not going to go through all of these. I've picked two and I've bold-faced them there. Flip over to Luke chapter 24, please. Luke chapter 24. Jesus has been crucified, he's died, he's been buried, he's risen from the grave. In verse 44, he's talking now to his followers. He says, and he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses. What's the law of Moses? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. All those things written about me, who's the me? Jesus, the Messiah. All the things written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the way to Malachi, and the Psalms. So the law of Moses in the beginning part, the prophets in the end, and the Psalms in the middle must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. And he said to them, thus it is written, where was it written? In the scripture, Genesis through Malachi. What was written? That Christ, the Christ, would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. There's the gospel, this incredible message of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Timothy 3:15. It says, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is writing Timothy, his protege, and he says that from childhood, you've known the sacred writings. What sacred writings? He's talking about what we call the Old Testament. You've known the sacred writings that are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith that's in Christ Jesus, the Messiah who was to come, whom we know as the Messiah who has already appeared. So the gospel didn't begin with the New Testament. The gospel began in the Old Testament through the prophets in the Holy Scripture, the Old Testament, the Holy Old Testament. Well, what did these prophets announce? Well, it says, or what did they promise beforehand? Verse 2. Well, if we go to Psalms, David promised how the Christ would die. Psalm 22, verse 16. And he was pierced. My hands and my feet are pierced. He promised how Christ would die. Daniel 9, 25. We will not go into it here in chapel. It would take a whole chapel. But Daniel promises when the Christ would die. Zechariah promised where Christ would die. Zechariah 12, 10 says, the inhabitants of Jerusalem look upon him whom they have pierced. He's going to be pierced in Jerusalem. But I love Isaiah 53. If Psalm 22 is the second most graphic portrayal of the coming crucifixion, Isaiah 53 is by far, in a way, the most graphic. But it says why Christ would die. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. So why? Why would he die? To pay for your stealing, my big sweethearts, our coveting, our immorality, whether it's in our thoughts or our actions, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual, to die for the people who would murder innocent people, to even die for the people of ISIS. And you watch the news and see this, the inhumane, the brutal slaughter of innocent people, and that anger rises up and like, let's just go wipe them out. We need to fall on our knees and pray, oh God, send your Holy Spirit. Convict them of their sin. Because you and I are the same way. Without Christ, we've all, like sheep, have gone astray. This incredible message, it's powerful. It changes people's lives. And I mentioned to you at convocation, because I've grown to really like this friend. I mentioned that in the spring, a doctor friend of mine had come to Christ, and I said, I hope to have him here the next time I speak. He is here this morning. Would you welcome, please, Dr. Vince Vismara? Dr. Vince, come on up.
Thank you.
Before we get started, come a little closer, please. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'll tell you, I had no idea what I was even doing here when Bill asked me to come. But he asked me, and I said, absolutely. I was born in St. Louis, born Roman Catholic. My parents were divorced at I was six, so I was essentially raised by my mother. Always went to Catholic schools, Catholic private schools. Thought I was a good Christian, but in no way did I have any experience like I'm experiencing now. God gave me good intelligence. I was a good athlete. I was on top of the world. I went through college, medical school, fellowship, did well in my cardiology training, had everything, beautiful wife, two beautiful kids. And I'll be honest, I've never spoke. I've spoken in conferences in front of thousands of people about medicine, but never spiritually. So I tend to get a little emotional. I've never been emotional until, honestly, I've never cried until this happened, but I was lost. I thought I had it, but I was truly, truly lost. So that's kind of the brief synopsis, thinking you have it all, you could do it all. And I was doing it all. I had everything I wanted. You know, the cars, the boats, the homes, I did. I fell into that trap. But, I did not have the spirituality or any sort of relationship with Christ. I'd pray when things are bad. Yeah. You know, like we all do. When I'm sure you guys have exams coming up, that you do well, or someone's sick, or you may do something you regret, and you say you never do it again if you get me out of this. That was me. You know, I used it when I needed it, not appreciative of his relationship. So, and I could tell you this carried over to my family. I was a good doctor, did well with my patients. My wife's famous line was, I'd get a A at work and a D at home. And we laughed about that. But she was absolutely right.
No. So, I'm with you on this. I didn't cry before I came to Christ.
And I've honest and to God, I feel like a slobbering fool because and it was a big thing. Don't ever cry. You know, that's how I was raised. And it's just emotional. And what happened at home, it was true. You know, we laughed about that saying, but, you know, my kids saw it. She saw it. I was at work all the time. And that was kind of my God, if you will. Because I felt I was doing a good thing, helping people, so that was my excuse until it got to the breaking point.
And tell us about that. You crossed over into a right relationship with God this spring. How did God just get your attention?
Well, it wasn't him. It was my wife. She kind of realized she's a physician also. You know, we were just used to that lifestyle. We worked. That's all we knew. Work. And she realized it was affecting our family, and she sought help, kind of spiritual guidance, if you will. And I could tell a change in her, but the hard-headedness in me was like, I got this. You know, I was happy for her. You know, I said, you're doing great. You know, keep it up.
And good
she's,
job,
yeah,
sweetheart.
Yeah, yeah. And but she's like, do you want to talk to someone? I said, no, I'm fine. You know, because that's how I was raised. I did everything on my own. You know, if I was going to do it, it's going to be me. And it served me to that point, not realizing you can't do it on your own. And she finally convinced me to go to a couple's Bible study, which I've never been a Bible study. much less a couple's Bible study. And so I went for her, you know, and of course you're with five other couples, don't know anybody. And it was very awkward, you know, but it changed my life. It was run by Kirby Cobleson, which many of you may know. He would give us assignments and tests, and he would give us, many of you probably know too, I didn't know, I was completely naive to all this. Andy Stanley, you probably heard his preaching, and he'd give these discs, and we'd go home and listen to them. He'd like for us to talk about them. And one hit me particular called cheating. And I tell this story, not cheating in an immoral way, but cheating your family. And that hit me. I mean, I was going to the hospital, listening to this, just going, oh my God. And Bill asked me kind of what was the turning point. And it was a culmination of things. And I think that tape just put it all in perspective. You know, I mean, it's like, what am I doing? You know, and from then on, I was like, I delved into it deeper. You know, if I take something on, I want to take it on intensely. And I studied, you know, I looked forward to going to the Bible study. I looked forward to seeing the other couples. I looked forward to Cubby's teachings. And it just opened my eyes. I mean, I thought I knew it all. And I wasn't even close, you know. And I still struggle. I mean, Bill asked me how I'm doing, and it's tough. It's tough. Every day I struggle. You know, and I'll be honest, if I, you know, they give you assignments, I should be reading the Bible every day. I don't, Bill. But I try. But he asked me how it's changed my life. It's just such better relationship with my family, my wife. She continues. It was great to be able to go through it together. It's so important to do it together. Much more patient in my practice with other people. I was very impatient. You know, I asked my kids, I go, how was I? And they said, mean. I was mean. I mean, and that's horrible as a father. I had not a great relationship. And I didn't want to be that. So it's gotten so much better. I still struggle. I still question. I still struggle with time, with the family. You know, every opportunity I get, I try to spend with them. Like even now, if someone's covering for me at the hospital, you know, this weekend I'm back on call. But it's the life we lead. But I know I'm doing it for a reason. I know God's put me in that place. I do give him the credit now. Yeah.
A lot of people don't know exactly when they crossed over to a right relationship with God. Some people can pinpoint it was I knelt in prayer there. That's when I invited Christ to forgive me. Is there, you kind of have it narrowed down. Is there a specific point?
I think, when I said that disc kind of just rocked my world, that's when I was heading that way, I guess, getting on the bridge. and then I actually had dinner with Dr. Jones and his wife, and he talked me through, and we knelt and prayed at the restaurant, which I've never done.
And it was a private room.
Private room, yeah.
It wasn't just like it wasn't McDonald's. And yeah. Let's just pray right here. So
we brought everybody in. Yeah. No. And finally, I told Bill, I go, I'm ready. You know, and I met with him in his office, and we sat and prayed, and that was it. And it's been great. It has. And again, I'm a novice. You know, if I'd be a karate, it'd be like a yellow belt, you know, where I'm at, but at least I know I'm on the way, I'm on the right path. I'm not quite there you know, I can't rattle off the scripture like Bill can. I'm probably most of you can. But I think my favorite line, it's not even scripture, was Cubby would give us these great lines. It was from Mother Teresa. Mm-hmm. And she said, "You'll never know God is all you need till he's all you have."
Wow, strong.
It's kind of been, it's so true. I've talked to a lot of people, and I really think it's true. You have to hit rock bottom and to just to realize. And that's where I was, but it's been great. It's really been a great, great journey.
Did his story of a spiritual journey encourage your heart? Let him know.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to tell him. Thank you. Thank you. I just Bill had given me these questions, you know, to prepare. And the last one was, what
advice
could I give you guys? I mean, honestly, you guys are light years ahead of where I was at your age. You know, which I think is great. And my only advice, what I tell you, you can't do it alone. Mm. You're not even close. So you guys are all on the right path. Because it's a cruel world out there. We're not going to lie. This is probably the best time of your lives, and you guys are off to a great start. It warms my heart actually to see the emotions and just the good actually karma in the room. Mm-hmm. I've never been to anything like this at all. You know, I've grown up Catholic.
We'd probably use a different word than karma, but
yeah, well, not karma, spirituality. I'm learning, you know, I'm learning. So.
By the way, he's a heart surgeon, so if you, I'm going to help him in his operations. If you'd like to be worked on today after chapel, just line up here, and I have a couple of knives from the cafeteria. And we'll go at it. Talk about heart surgery, though. The heart surgeon had heart surgery by the great physician, right? Vince, thank you. Dr. Bismarck, thank you very much. All right, second point. Let's look at the subject of this incredible message of good news. Verses 3 and 4. Look at the beginning of verse 3. It says, concerning his son. This is the subject. It's all about Jesus. And then if you have your, where you can circle or make a note, there are two who's. It says, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh. This is his humanity. It's talking about the humanity of Jesus. And Debbie, I don't think you're with us. It was Heather Matthews, she's the wife of the sheriff at Kershaw County. She called me, she says, I've been sharing the gospel or sharing Jesus with a Muslim lady friend of mine. I think she's ready to hear the gospel. And so they came to my office and we started talking about Jesus. And coming from this Muslim background, she did not feel like Allah could relate to her problems. But I told her about Jesus. And because he walked the earth as a man, he could understand her problems. And a few months later, she prayed with Debbie and me and Heather and the sheriff. And that was this past spring, and she's been in Bible study with us for weeks now, growing. But the humanity of Jesus. But it goes on, and it says, verse 4, here's the second who. The first who deals with his humanity. The second who deals with his deity, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. He was declared deity. He was not just man. He was, he is, and forever will be God. When I was in Azerbaijan this summer, I just got carried away. We were talking about the resurrection of Jesus and started saying, look, the cross could not hold him. The grave couldn't hold him. The stone couldn't hold him. The guards couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. The devil himself couldn't hold him. And suddenly, one of the church planters there in Azerbaijan, he jumped up, his hands were in the air, and he started going, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah," started running around, and I went, "He gets it." We don't follow a dead man. We follow a living God, and he changes people's lives just like he changed mine. So I want you to remember something. We ultimately don't change world affairs, national developments, or local tragedies by changing governments, laws, or flags. None of which I'm against. Don't get me wrong. But we ultimately change these affairs by changing hearts as we faithfully share the good news of Jesus Christ, promised beforehand in the scripture by the prophets concerning the Son of God. I'm very concerned. How concerned are you? Are you concerned enough to do something about it by purposing in your hearts to boldly and compassionately, but boldly share this incredible message concerning the Son, which we call the gospel? I pray that you're concerned enough. You never know what God's going to do when you share the good news of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, and then just leave the results to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for every single individual in this room. Lord, they have no idea how they minister to me every chapel when I walk in here and hear them, see them, and feel them worship. Lord, may we not demonstrate our deep, heartfelt love for you in this room only. Father, take us to the nations. Take us to the state houses. Take us to the White House. Take us to the hurting. And use us to clearly and effectively share this incredible message, the good news of Jesus, the gospel. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.